World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm kind of glad the Christmas season is behind us, to be honest with you. I mean, we had a great time with our children. I mean, it's just grandkids is all really, really good. But, you know, I don't know about you guys. It stresses out my wife, planning all that stuff and getting the food ready. And Christmas, whatever it's supposed to be, I don't think it's supposed to be a stressful time. And my wife is just unbelievably awesome with family stuff. And we got family in from out of town. Some of you probably in the same situations. And so we got 363 days now to recover from having to get ready to do that again. And then, look, I'm really this morning just kind of thinking about this. Bill Dunphy's in jail. Miss Christmas with his family. His family missed Christmas with him. Cal Zastro, we're working right now. Look, folks, I know some of you don't even know these guys. You don't even know who they are. And we're going to try to get Cal Zastro's address up there as well. I know you don't know who they are. But I don't think we have any idea how encouraging cards are. Mail call. And we would like to just kind of flood them with whatever. We're praying for you. Yeah, I think that's still the right address for Pastor Dunphy. I believe it is. And we're going to take communion. So get ready for communion this morning. Just real quickly. Hey, Paul, did you get mail when you're in jail? Did the cards and letters people sent you, did you get it?
Yeah, I got, yes, I did. And what they do is they copy everything that you get because people will put drugs in the paper, you know, like Microdot and so forth. Definitely got mail in there, and they copy each side. Usually that's where I was. But I wasn't at Rikers either.
Right.
I don't know what Philadelphia Detention Center.
So do they have like mail call every day, Paul? How does that work?
Yes. When they have a full staff, they have mail call generally in the morning around breakfast time. it's a unique thing because I was the only one getting mail.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. It put a target on me sometimes too. Coach.
Isn't that something? Think about that, folks. Huh? Get a target. These guys, some of them sitting around in those prisons that probably don't have anybody gives a rat's whatever about them. And then there's Paul Gosling getting a dozen letters or dozen cards or whatever.
I gave a damn about these guys. A lot of these guys don't belong in there, guy.
Yeah, let's not get going on that one, brother. Cal doesn't belong in there. Cal right. Zastro is in prison for trying to rescue unborn children. Now, folks, in a normal world, would you be in prison for that? If I were to go rescue if I saw a car accident and a newborn baby was in the car and I broke in the window and it was flames are going and I reached in and I rescued that baby, I'd be a hero, man. I'd be in the middle of a parade. And Cal Zastro just wants to go rescue him just a few weeks, a few months before they pop out. And he's in jail. Bill Dunphy's in jail for J6, which we all now know what a screw up that was. Not by screw up, I mean setup would be a better word, right? It was a setup.
Trump's going to release those, huh? Isn't he, though, Coach?
No, he says he is. He says he is. But I hear a lot of stuff, right? And,
I hope so. It'll be a great day.
So, folks, look, we can't forget these guys, man. And look, just get a card. Just get a card. Say praying for you and send it to them. Wouldn't be that hard to do. This is Bill Dunphy. We know he'll get this.
I just sent it to you, Coach.
Thanks, Dale. So Did you email? Let me see.
I texted.
I got it. Okay, I'll get it to Spencer. Good. Thank you very much. All right. So let me get this, and we'll get this one copied, and we want this one up there. Cal Zastro is one of the most unbelievable people that I know. You've all heard the story, make chicken salad out of chicken whatever. That's Cal Zastro. Only Cal Zastro could be rejoicing in prison. I mean, literally, only he could be doing that. And I know that he is. And I saw something from Cal yesterday. Remember, Cal Zastro's in jail for trying to rescue children. All right. I saw something yesterday that he's now formed a choir inside the prison. Dale, does that sound like Cal? I mean, is that Cal or what?
He's amazing.
That's unbelievable. So I'm going to send that to you now, Spencer. It doesn't have a subject, but there's Cal's address. Folks, if you come on, man, come on. Go get a card. Put the stamp. Listen, I know for Bill Dunphy, you have to go get one of those pre-stamped envelopes. Did you have to deal with that, Paul? Did you have to deal with that pre-stamped envelope where you were? Of course, you're in county jail, weren't you? It was a little different, probably.
No, I don't know what.
Yeah, I think they're in federal lockup, so that might be a little bit different. Okay, so right now Spencer's getting ready to put up on the screen. Please, folks, send both of these guys a card today. Just if you don't say anything else, other than I'm praying for you, whatever, and. You know, sometimes I ask myself, Lord, how come I'm not there? How come I'm not there, Lord? Isn't that what they said in the movie? Isn't that what? God, my brain used to be like that. Bonhoeffer. And then when they kept saying, Pastor, what are you doing here? And his response was, why aren't you here? Sometimes I feel like that. I do. Sometimes I feel like it. Martyrs. Jeff, come on in real quickly. We're going to take communion here in a second, folks.
Coach, the first letter I sent to Pastor Bill went through with a regular stamp and my sticker return address. And they said, yeah, you got to have this and that. But mine went through. He wrote me back, and I sent him another one last week. I'll see if it goes through.
Okay, cool. Okay. So, folks, that's all I know. And, of course, this is typical, isn't it? What is a stamp now? 62 cents? I think a stamp is 62 cents. But if you get one of those pre-stamped stamps, it's 85. Everything's a racket, isn't it? I mean, everything is a racket. They're all tied in. I'm going to get into some of that here this morning, though. But I'm just grateful. You grateful today, friends? You grateful today? I'm grateful. I got a lot of things to be ungrateful about, a lot of things that I wish weren't the way they were. I got a lot to be grateful about. So say, folks, I'm going to do that. I'm going to send these guys a card. I'm going to send these guys a card. And you hear what Dr. Paul said. There's probably some truth to it. Probably some jealousy if all of a sudden they dump 25 cards in Bill Dunphy's lap. Probably some jealousy that goes on. But I'm sure he needs the encouragement anyway. And hey, Laura Ann, are you out there, Laura Ann? She's almost always out here.
Yes, sir. Some.
Okay, Laura Ann, I want you to pray. I want you to pray for justice and the release of all those who are right now unjustly imprisoned. Whether it be J6ers, whether it be Eva Edel, Cal Zastro, Jimmy Zastro. I don't think Jimmy's in there yet. I mean, it's just.
Do you have her? Where she's at? Do you have her information?
Dale, do we have her address? That'd be another one we could send Dale. Dale's really connected with all of them. We'll get it up there. But let's just pray that those prison walls are going to fall.
Yeah,
what's that, honey? I can't hear her. She's yelling at me. I'll be.
Dale, could you get that up so we can put it in the chat? Them out? And then I'll get these addresses to Manny too. All right.
I'm sorry. You go pray.
Thank God.
Yeah,
my heart is just very heavy right now.
Yeah, I get you.
Daddy, your kids are running in to your family room in the throne room. We have heavy hearts. And first, I want to thank you for who you are. You released Paul and you saved him. Thank you so much. He is a testimony of what's to come for all these others. For Pastor Bill, for Eva, for Cal, and you know the names, and you know the cells and the neurons and the transmitters in their heads, and that you know how their blood flows, and each and every one of them that have been wrongly incarcerated because they bear your name and are your child. Your word says to love mercy, seek justice, and to walk humbly with you, our God. So today, we come to you and thank you for this new life that you are going to birth. You did it on Christmas. It's about Jesus, that your name is going to be exalted and your glory is going to fall down in such a way and release these prisoners. You did it for Paul. You did it for Paul, the Apostle Paul. We're singing your praises. We're giving you the glory because you're so good. Your arm's not too short to save. You open up the prison doors, and who the Son sets free is free indeed, said Jesus Christ. Your kingdom here on earth, we need it to open up the prison doors of people every single day who have been captured by the enemy. Release them. Lord God, give them favor, those in that are behind bars. Lord, give them such favors with their correctional officers. Give them favor with the wardens. Give them favor with the inmates and protect them. Give them, Lord God, everything they need and more. And let them know at this Christmas and this new year how much you love them. And then as you show them where they are at, how much you love them. Show their families, their wives and their husbands, Lord God, show them how much you love their loved ones who've been incarcerated for your glory. And that when Mr. Trump, Donald Trump, the man, is placed and the seat that you have given him, Almighty God, give him so much of your wisdom and your discernment that he stands in your glory wherever he goes, that he's been engulfed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that he can declare out of his mouth for Donald Trump that you, Jesus Christ, are not only his Lord, but his Savior. That he will testify through the word of his testimony that is you, Jesus Christ, in the blood of the Lamb. And that is where freedom comes. And that Ava, that sweet, sweet, sweet lady that survived the Holocaust, Lord God, has been thrown behind American prison doors where she came here to be free. Almighty God, give that woman such a testimony and an extension of her years, Lord God, that she blows people away. Comfort her there. Wipe her tears. Wipe every single one of these people's tears away. Put them in a bottle and let that bottle be such a sweet-smelling perfume. Yeah! That smell of life is going to be, aroma is going to be so amazing. And we thank you. We look forward to seeing what you're going to do and the miracles upon miracles, Lord, that you are going to download here so that we in this group and around the world will be able to witness every single miracle and give you the praise and the honor and the glory that is due to your beautiful, sweet, precious name. We come to you, Father, and asking for the downpouring of the Holy Spirit, fire and smoke, wisdom and comfort and truth, wrapped in the hug from Jesus Christ, because your word in the Song of Solomon says that your left arm embraces us and your right arm comes around us, and they need that hug from heaven. Thank you that you placed in a verse, in a song, that your love is everlasting, that comes in a hug. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Let's just stay in an attitude of prayer right now, folks, if we can. I just, Lord, I just throw, before the throne, I throw out Linda Tibbs and what she's dealing with, her foot, and OJ and Dorita and the family issue that they're dealing with, Lord, that you'd be gracious unto them, Lord, and Jimmy's Astro and Eva's Astro and others who are lined up, Lord, that you would be their, that you'd be their defense, Lord Jesus. And Connie Dunphy, comfort her, Lord Jesus. And financially support those widows and orphans who are caught up in this mess as well, Lord. Father, we ask that you do something supernatural in our pulpits. Clean them out, Lord. Put a fire for righteousness back in our pulpits. Pray for Mike Blake's sister-in-law, I believe it is. Just heal her, Lord, completely heal her. Just go ahead, somebody, just call out a name. Tell us, don't tell us a life story, just a story.
Father, I pray for the young moms and the old moms and the worried moms. Keep those moms in your care and the babies. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I come to your throne as well, and I ask you, Lord God, I lift up Ray and Jane LeBlanc. Lord, I pray for over Jane. Lord God, I just pray for those that are hurting. I know it's so, I don't want to be so vague, but Lord God, there are so many people that don't speak up and say their needs, but Lord God, you know every one of them. And so I just pray for those that are hurting, that are too quiet to stand up and ask. Lord, you say you have not because you ask not. And Lord God, I'm just asking right now for them, and that you would just do a healing in these folks, Lord God, and physically, mentally, spiritually, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen.
Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I lift up a girl, a young lady. Actually, she's 41. Her name is Amanda, and she lives in Lawrenceburg, Indiana. She works at a gas station, which is where I met her, and she has epilepsy, and she's afraid for her job because she gets fired as soon as they find out, so she has to lie about that. And she just lost her husband to his third heart attack just last month. I met her just a couple days before Christmas. I prayed with her, Lord, you know that. And I just lift her up to you, and I ask that everybody continue to pray for her. She's really struggling, and I'm just so thankful, Lord, that I was put in that place at that moment so that I could minister to her. And, Lord, we thank you, and we praise you for her life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Lord, we just pray for we pray forgiveness for the shedding of blood, so much blood of our children in the sex trafficking. Lord, we pray that you would have mercy in our country, and we would turn from our wicked ways and seek your face. And I don't remember the part of that, Lord, but you know, and just forgive us. Forgive us for our complacency in this land, for our not doing anything when we should. And I just ask you humbly, ask forgiveness for all of us in this queue, in Jesus' name.
Lord, we pray for the people down in North Carolina and Tennessee that lost everything, Father. Pray for the provisions to be met, shelter, food, heating, everything, Lord, that they can be sustained and that all their needs will be met. And Father, we pray for our president, your president, Donald J. Trump, put a hedge of protection around him, do your will on earth as it is in heaven, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
And Father, I want to pray for another couple that's put in jail for another reason, Kim and Barbie Crome, who has been put in jail for the IRS, something that they have never done and was never proven they did any wrong. But still, yet they were just put in there for an example for everybody to be fearful of this three-letter organization, Lord.
Amen.
And Lord, just please be with them and help Kim, that he was put in for 7 years for nothing, and that all their stuff was stolen and sold for no reason. But Lord, you know the story. So thank you, Lord, but just be with them and bless him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
And Lord, let us pray for Chet Gallagher and Heather Aldoni.
Amen.
Who are also incarcerated, for standing up for your precious children, and to just give them peace and strength and revelation. And we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. By the way, Dale, if you have Chet, I forgot. God, I forgot all about Chet. Chet's the former police officer who, in Las Vegas, as a police officer, was called to the abortion clinic and told his captain that he could not arrest those people. And he went and took his badge off and sat down with them. Well, it cost him his job. And Chet's incarcerated again for trying to rescue babies. Maybe we can get his address up there, Dale. Amen.
Jesus, thank you.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Heavenly Father, I ask that you heal my friend Tina, who's been battling cancer for several years now. And I trust that you will heal her. And I trust that you will heal her. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus, I just pray for your healing for those that need it, especially for those that are battling chronic illness, chronic disease, that you would be a God that not only heals, but restores.
Amen.
That they would be restored to full strength, and that you would be glorified in this healing. Jesus, I also pray for Donald Trump, that all his cabinet members would be confirmed and that you would keep him safe, that you would allow us a time of peace, and that through that you would cause another great awakening, a great revival, so that many souls would come into the kingdom because of this. Just as when Jesus was born, there was what's known as the Pax Romana. The whole known world was at peace. And Lord, you were able to operate and spread your gospel through that situation because it was at peace. So Lord, I pray that you bring our world to peace and that you cause a great awakening, not just in our nation, but in all nations. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen.
Lord, we come before you this morning and acknowledge you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, I just specially pray for the youth in this country. Lord, whether it be the youth, whether it be the babies in the womb. Lord, this little baby they found on the interstate highway, a month old, I pray for this little infant they found, its mother and father abandoned. And Lord, we just ask you to turn the hearts of the mothers and the fathers back to the children. Yes, Lord, Lord. Mighty awakening in this country. Just thank you for what you're about to do. Amen.
Amen. You know, the scripture says that that the book of Malachi, last book, I believe it's the last book in the Old Testament. And he said he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest he smite the earth with a curse. Lord, just break that curse. Blood of Jesus. Help us again, nationally, to apply the blood of Jesus everywhere we look, Father. Reformation. Amen. Amen. Come on in, Joe. Go ahead and lead us into communion here.
Thank you, Coach. Good morning, everybody. By the
way, Joe, before you get there, Spencer, go to Webster's real quick. I want you guys to see this. Disease. You keep saying that word over and over and over. Disease. In its primary sense, pain, uneasiness, distress. That's what disease is. Pain, uneasiness, and distress. Dis-ease. Go ahead, Joe.
Thank you, Coach. This morning I'm reading from Romans 5, 1 to 11 before we pray. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also.
Thank you, Lord.
Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
Yes, Lord.
For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Will one die? Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
That's something right there.
Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement.
Joe, if I could interrupt again, I want to go back up there because something jumped out at me. Right there, verse 8. But God commended his love towards us. Notice that's not commanded. It's commended. It's commended. What does it mean to commend, Spence? Commend. Commend. To represent as worthy of notice, regard, or kindness, to speak in favor of, to recommend. So God commended, made us worthy. It wasn't anything we did. He commended. What did he commend towards us? Go back to the scripture. But God commended his love towards us undeservingly while we were yet sinners. Pretty powerful, man. Go ahead, Joe.
Thank you, Coach. Dear Heavenly Father, We come to you this morning again with gratitude in our hearts for all you're doing in our lives and for our homes, for our heat, our warmth, for our families. And Lord, we also come to you and ask you to bring justice to our country and to this world. Justice to the unjust judicial system that it so often seems to have judges who are biased and have made their decision before the trial even starts. That's not what our system stands for, Lord. Judges who deny a defendant the right to present a defense and exculpatory evidence, warning that if he does so or she does so, they will receive a worse sentence. That is not justice, Lord. So we pray for all those who this group normally prays for, and often for J6 actions that were likely innocent and were just expressing freedom, and also for those who protect the unborn. We pray for justice for all those that affiliated with this group, and also those we do not know that are in similar circumstances. And we pray for justice to those who were denied assistance in North Carolina because of their political affiliation. That cannot be, Lord. That cannot stand. So please bring those who were denied the aid that they so deserve. Let them get back on their feet. Let them have warmth when they sleep and during the day, and help them to regain their homes and their lives back, Lord. And let those that denied them aid because of who they voted for, let those be brought to justice, Lord, real justice. And we pray for an unveiling of the truth for all the communications behind the scenes, encouraging people to do unjust things. We pray for revealing of the blackmail forcing judges to take unjust decisions, or for the payoffs that were required for such. We also pray for those who have disease or disease in their bodies or in their souls. We pray for those on this call with such, that, and when they take communion, let this be the meal that heals, whether they're on the live call or the downloaded recorded version. Doesn't matter. And we pray for those with wounded souls. Let their souls be healed too. And we're so grateful for communion. And we ask that we be cleansed of our sins and transgressions as we come into your sight, Lord, and take this holy communion. Forgive us our sins. And please bless this bread and drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we say, with gratitude and love, amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and blessed it and break it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and thanks and gave it to him, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thanks, Joe. Now, just kind of meditating as you sit here, no matter how bad you got it, somebody's got it worse, right? Somebody's got it worse. I see Mark Mattingly in there. How long you been struggling physically, Mark? I mean, Lord Jesus.
4 or 5 years, something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Lord, we just ask you to touch Mark. We thank you that you've carried him this far, Lord. But we ask you to just heal him. You said, you're the one said it's children's bread. So feed Mark some healing. And
amen.
Jane LeBlanc. Touch Jane LeBlanc, Lord Jesus. Touch her now. And touch Shane Hollenrake. Touch him right now, Lord Jesus. You're the great physician. Do what everybody else says you can't do. What all the doctors say and pharmacologists say and experts say, Lord. Touch him now. Jesus' name. Amen. 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 By the way, one of the reasons I love my wife, shame on me, she said Chet Gallagher, the police officer, had surgery and hasn't gone to jail yet. Sorry, Chet, that I missed that one. We still pray for him. And Eva and Jimmy, who are Cal Zastro's children, are both on house arrest. Praise the Lord on that one. Did I get that right, sweetheart? Man, just a lot of information overload. You know what I'm saying? A lot of information overload. Hey, look, folks, help me out here. Help me out. God bless Mark Trump, first of all. Just for Mark's really picking up the ball and running with it as far as help aid down in North Carolina. Friends, I get overwhelmed. Here's what happens to me, and I don't know what else to tell you. I'll get people who will email me and say, Coach Dave, we found a camper. And it's in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I said, great. Does it have tires on it? Does it have a leak in the roof? Do the doors work? Can I drag it 500 miles? So those of you who are, God bless you if you're looking for these things. Could you answer those questions? Is it seaworthy? Can we put it on a truck and is it going to make it down there? I've been through that one, right? So this is some work that you guys can do can help me with. Simple things like the bearings. Are the bearings okay in the tires? Are the tires good? Look, we'll help buy new tires if that's what it is. But, folks, I can't. First of all, I don't even know how to change a tire. I'm about as unmechanical as there is. But those of you guys, because they're everywhere. I see them everywhere. So if you have one, please find somebody to do that legwork for us. See how seaworthy it is. Can we drag it down there? Will it be okay? Are the bearings okay? Are the tires okay? We don't want to take somebody a hunk of junk down there. You with me, right? So those of you who see these things, I see them everywhere. Man, I wish I was an expert in that field because they are everywhere. Just help do some legwork for me. Do some legwork. Say, hey, Coach, we got this place. We've checked it out, and it will go, and we'll find somebody to pull it. That's what I'm saying. We'll find somebody to pull it. But like I got one right now over on the – well, I won't say where it is. It doesn't matter. Well, what, am I supposed to come over and see if the tires are good? Me? What? So find somebody who will do it, and then we'll figure out a way how to get it down there. Craig Mickle, come on in, Craig.
To share my experience, you know, I took it just to get the bearings checked. That was, you know, $150. And then the tires really looked good on the outside, didn't see any cracks in it. And then on the inside of the tire, in between the tread, were cracks. And, you might as well just figure if those tires are 3 years or older, you're going to at least be in $500 to $600 to get four tires for these.
And we'll help you do that. We'll help you do that.
So, I mean, you just really, and then, like the heater, make sure the heater runs. Like the bearing was starting to go out on the heater. So these older trailers, they're definitely doable, but if you don't have any experience with a trailer or RVs, then get someone alongside you that does. I ended up sealing the roof and, they all have cracks. They all have a little leak for most part. And, I had to end up sealing parts of the roof and stuff like that. So just find someone that knows a little bit with RVs. God will put someone in your path.
So Craig, Steve Deck, God bless Steve Deck. We're going to drag his down there. And Steve says, Coach, don't take it down there yet. It needs this, it needs this, it needs this. So thank God for people like Steve or people out there who are mechanically inclined. Say, we can't pull that thing down there. You're going to get that thing down there in the hills of West Virginia, and the wheel's going to fall off of it. And then what you going to do? So I don't want to get into that mess, all right? You guys can do that. Come on, we can do that. And so I wanted to touch on that. While I could. I'm sort of heading this way this morning. I don't know why the Lord really kind of. I'm so sick and tired of the lies. I'm so sick and tired of it. You guys sick and tired of it? Let me give you an example. I'm going to show you a video here real quick. You ever notice those guys when they go before Congress, they won't give yes and no answers? You ever notice it? That they come in like an abortionist come in? And they won't give you a straight answer. Is the baby alive? Is it viable? Why won't they say, yes, the baby's viable, and yes, we want to kill it? Why won't they just say that? Why do they continue? Well, we know why, because they're of their father, the devil, and the works of their father they will do. But if somebody says to you, is an unborn baby viable at 6 months? Why is it so hard for medical science to say, yeah, sure is. Yeah, sure is. I want to show you a clip here. This is what we're dealing with, folks. People want their agenda promoted regardless of whether it's right or wrong. They know it's wrong. I'm going to show you this clip where this abortionist won't answer the questions, because if she answers the questions, she's a ghoul. G-O-H. Look that one up for me, Spencer. G-O, is it G-O-U-H-L? Is that a ghoul? She's a ghoul.
G-H-G-H-G-H-O-U-L.
Yeah, that's one of those crazy words. A ghoul. What's a ghoul? A ghoul is from folklore, yeah. Is a demon-like being or monstrous humanoid often associated with graveyards and the consumption of human flesh in the legends and tales which they appear. A ghoul is far more ill-mannered and foul than goblins. The concept originated in pre-Islamic Arabic religion. Modern fiction often uses the term to label a specific kind of monster. You're going to see a monster here. Play that number two.
Medical consensus. Dr. McNicholas, what's the medical consensus for age of viability of a fetus?
I appreciate the question. So viability is a complicated medical construct. There is no particular gestational age. There are some pregnancies in which a fetus will...
Freeze it. We know that's a lie, right? We know that right there's a lie. Go ahead.
Will never be viable. There are a number of different factors that we think about when we're considering if a pregnancy is or isn't viable.
Hang on. See, we're not talking about viability. She couldn't care less about viability. She's a ghoul. You understand? She's a ghoul. So we can't determine viability. Hell yes, she can. Maybe not for the minus. The tiny, 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 minuscule percentage you can't. Dude, hey, lady, you know it's a baby. Go ahead.
So what is there a legal consensus on the age of viability?
Not to my understanding, but I'm a physician, not a lawyer.
What's What? In your 10 years as a doctor, how many abortions have you performed?
So I provide a variety of different services. And
I'm not asking about.
He should ask her, ma'am, do you make money to kill babies? Because the love of money is at the root of all evil, is it not? So she's going to tell you how many she's killed here. Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So does she want abortion to be illegal? Well, heck no. She'd make a lot of money off of it. Go ahead.
About the other she's services. How right. many abortions have you performed?
So I can't tell you how many hysterectomies I've done, and I can't tell you how many abortions I've done. I've had a long career of taking care
hang
of
on,
people for
hang
a
on, hang on. Nobody asked you about hysterectomies. Go ahead.
So you manage a facility. Can you tell me or you're the medical overseer that can you tell me how many abortions the facility in Missouri performs each week?
I can tell you, and I believe it's publicly available, so I can give you a rough estimate of how many abortions we perform per year, which is, I think, roughly around 3,000.
How do you dispose of 3,000 fetuses?
Do you get that? 3,000. Can anybody do math? How many is that a week? 600? 60 a week? Is that what it is? 60 a week? 3,000? 60? She doesn't know how many they've killed? She doesn't know how many? Go ahead.
Every year.
So Missouri has a state law that requires that we send all of the remains of pregnancy to pathology.
What's the latest term abortion that you've performed, like gestation period in weeks?
So my practice includes the provision of abortion up until the point of viability. And again, we already had a discussion about viability not being a.
So just give me the number in weeks then.
I don't know.
You don't remember the number of weeks?
That's correct. So
what about size of the unborn baby? Do you know the largest baby that you've aborted?
I'm not sure how I would even quantify that.
If I use the word fetus, you have no idea the age or gestation period of the fetuses that you're aborting?
So again, as I said, my practice includes abortion care through the point of viability. And as
abortion
we previously
care.
Discussed, that
me,
could be
let me put it this way.
Point. Yes.
Is there any point of gestation beyond which you personally would not abort a fetus?
You know, medicine is not black and white. I recognize in my 10 years of practice informs this opinion that pregnancy can be really complicated. And given that there are pregnancies for which a fetus may never be viable, I think it's really important that we allow physicians and patients to have every medical resource to make decisions that are appropriate for them and their health.
In the absence of a law preventing it, would you abort a viable fetus?
Again, every patient is different, and I can't make any.
I'm just asking about a viable fetus. If the law didn't prevent it, would you consider it a limitation morally for you to abort a viable fetus?
So I think you're forgetting that there are a number of reasons that go into patient's choice.
At your clinic, does it matter what the reason is for the abortion?
At my clinic, I trust that women have a valid reason. Every reason that they have is valid.
Okay, so given that you think that every reason is valid, would you abort a viable fetus if there was not a law preventing it?
Again, given that the reality for people choosing abortion is that there are many reasons, there isn't a single thing that defines somebody's choice. It is
a
reflection of their...
You seem to have a hard time.
Hang on. How many of you out there right now could give me a lot of reasons to murder somebody? Could you all give me a lot of reasons? They didn't pay me. They said something mean to my child. They owed me money. There's all kinds of reasons to murder. There's all kinds of reasons. This is crazy, isn't it? This is what we're dealing with, folks. This is the demonic impact we're seeing in our government. I know it's long. Let's keep going. Keep going.
Hard time saying this. This tells me you have a heart, or at least you know that people watching this have a heart, and they would be concerned if you would just admit, which you won't admit here, that you would abort a viable fetus for any reason if the law did not prevent it.
Mr. Massey, abortion is moral. It is important. It is health care. And I support people being the experts in their own lives and making decisions for themselves.
Hang on. You have to be an expert to know when life begins. Is anybody out there? Could anybody answer that question without being an expert as to when life begins? Huh? And so that's a moral decision? Moral? Murder's now a moral decision? Murder's now moral? Go on.
Gives me some hope that you here understand that people do not support you when you abort, when you say, or if you would say, that you would abort a viable fetus for any reason. But given what you told us in your opening statement, and knowing what you've said, we know that you would. But it does give me hope that you still know in your heart that's wrong. Mrs. Stucker,
I'm not sure. Can you respond to that really quickly?
If you would answer my question, you could, but you won't. So I'm going to use my remaining time asking Mrs. Stucker, should any reason be of a good reason for having an abortion?
Absolutely not. It's a child. It's a life inside the womb from the moment of conception onward. And I'm very troubled by how flippantly she said that there are 3,000 abortions performed every year of defenseless human beings. And the remark that abortion is moral.
Time has expired.
I recognize that kind of logic driving my lifestyle.
No, the time has expired.
Notice the guy comes in, doesn't let the truth be told, right? Huh? They're not after truth, folks. They're not after truth. These folks are demonic. They're blood-sucking ghouls. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
40% of the church agrees with him. Go ahead.
Over 2 minutes over, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, we need to be fair on both sides of the aisle, please.
Get off it. You get it, right? You see what we're dealing with? How, with the American church alive and well, can abortion still be legal? Can somebody explain that one to me? How can that possibly? One other one I want to show you here. Man, I'm out of time already. Are you kidding me? Just want to make you feel really, really good. Hey, friends. I don't know how this whole thing's going to play out. But when it begins to hit the mainstream, that what we conspiracy theorists have been telling them for 3 years, when the evidence comes out that what we've been telling them is the truth in regards to vaccines, all that stuff, how do you petition your government for a redress of grievances when the government's the one who did it? Pull up number 6. Vaccine injury rollout. Vaccine injury claims spiked 27 times after COVID-19 injection rollout. By the way, folks, this is from the U.S. Government Accountability Office. More proof the vaccines have and will continue to kill people. Hey, they're not viable. I guess they weren't viable, see? As soon as we allow right and wrong to become an opinion, this is where we end up. I'm not going to take the time to read down there through it. Folks, the government, scroll down, Spence. The government received a surge of 13,333 COVID-19 claims, 27 times the number of claims received in the first decade of the program. Oh, yeah. COVID's killing people. You know, they're calling it long COVID. No. It shouldn't be long COVID. It should be called slow death. Because it doesn't show up for 3 or 4 years. And you're dealing with people right now in your life who this is going to kill them. The fact they took the shot, I'm sorry. They want to call it long COVID. See, these are the same people that say that it's not a viable fetus, not viable. This is our medical thing. I didn't get into this. I want to throw it in there real quick. Pull up number 3. It's all connected. I got 6 minutes. All connected. Pharmakia. Pharmacy. Greek word pharmakia appears in Galatians, Revelation. The term comes from the root word appearance in Revelation 9, Revelation 21, Revelation 22. These are typically translated in English as sorcery, witchcraft, or sorcerer. See, they hate Paul Gosselin because he ain't a sorcerer. See, do you understand it? You understand? That's why they want to throw him in jail. He's not into witchcraft. Ancient Greek uses of pharmakia closely mirror the generic modern English word drugs. Modern use of the word sorcery evokes images of supernatural power and spells. And biblical use of pharmakia doesn't fit well with such ideas. Instead of going to the drug store, you're going to go to the pharmakia store. You're going to go to the what? The demonic power store. In modern English, separate terms distinguish between medicines, chemicals, and illicit drugs. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. Hang on. Why are some drugs legal and some illegal? Who determines that? In modern English, separate terms of medicines, chemicals, drugs is used in most contexts, a pharmacist and a drug dealer. They're both the same, folks. Both distribute chemicals. But one's approved and one isn't approved. But of different kinds and drastically different reasons. This makes cultural and biblical context crucial when interpreting terms related to pharmakia. It's crazy, isn't it? Isn't this crazy where we are? When we look at how demonic modern medicine has become. Scroll down a little bit more. Ancient societies were no stranger to mind-altering chemicals. Archaeologists note the presence of opium and hemp and many other substances in Bible-era cultures. Mood-altering substances were also used in connection to ancient religious practices. Temples such as those in Greece sometimes used mind-altering drugs in fortune-telling and oracles. Substances that alter a person's perception can be used as legitimate medicines. It's some good uses for drugs. They can also be abused. Huh? Yeah, Eliquis. Get on that damn Eliquis, will you, so your heart beats right? Get on that Eliquis. Well, won't it kill me? Oh, yeah. Not if you're viable. No, you're viable right now. It won't kill you now. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. This
folks, amen.
This is what amen.
Amen, coach.
What's that, Paul?
Amen, coach.
This is it, right? I trust Paul Gosko. That ain't going to kill me. He ain't said, I ain't going to give you that drug because it's going to do this to you. And it's going to do this to you. And I know about the rest of you. I'm working hard to get off some of that crap with what? Natural remedies. Diet, extra, the food's killing us, folks. McDonald's, quit eating the McDonald's. Stop, better stop it. Because you know what? You know what's at the end of McDonald's? A pill from the pharmacist. That's where that ends. Kim, come on in quickly.
Okay, thanks, Coach. So I just sent you a text with the screenshot of this that I had taken a while back. I looked up the word zombie, and guess what it says? A corpse said to be revived by witchcraft.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so we're taking the drugs, which is witchcraft, and that's what's reviving people. So there's a tie in there. Do you see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, zombie. According, she sent this to me. Definition, corpse said to be revived by witchcraft, especially in certain African and Caribbean religions, a tall mixed drink consisting.
So we're walking around like zombies on all these drugs.
That's right.
That's why we see these people that are walking around acting like they're zombified, because they're on all these mind altering drugs and all kinds of different things.
So my wife said to me the other day, I love my wife. I love her so much, and she loves me so much. And when I was in the middle of that gout thing, she says, maybe you need to go see a doctor. I said, that's the last place I'm going. What are you talking about? Go to a doctor? No, thank you. Am I crazy to say that, Paul? No, thank you. I ain't going to one of those guys. Huh? Oh, my. What a time to be alive, folks. We're seeing it all unfold. I had so much more stuff I didn't get to today. Huh? Let's wake up. Let's understand what's going on. Let's continue to swim upstream. Let's keep our paddles in the water. Let's continue to tell the truth and wake up others, because I'm telling you, things that are coming are going beyond what we can even imagine. Have a great weekend, I think, isn't it? God, I hate holidays. See you on Monday.